Welcome, everybody, to your Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. I'm riding solo out here in Las Vegas. The Lakers just beat the Chicago Bulls in their Sunday night Las Vegas Summer League game. I am all aboard the Svi Mykhailiuk hype train. I'm going to run that thing, and I'm going to keep on running until well, he makes the Hall of Fame, which is inevitable, but still. The Lakers look solid. They've looked solid in their couple games out here in Vegas. The coaching staff seems to be happy with what they've seen. But today, I'm going to take your questions about everything. The schedule was messed up last week as the LeBron agreement threw everything kind of off. But I'm back for a Monday mailbag. As always, send your questions into iTunes in the form of a 5-star review, and I will answer your question. That's just a general prod. It's a promise that I have kept ever since we first came up with this idea. I want to thank you guys for all of the questions. Quick, you know, request. The shorter your question, the more likely it is to be answered fully, right? Because if you ask 33 questions in a paragraph or whatever, it gets kind of hard to get the hammer the whole thing out and still get to everybody else's. So just a minor request there, if you guys don't mind doing that. As always, you can follow the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, and Silver Screen and Roll. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. Let's before I really get to any of the questions, I want to, because I don't see any real questions here regarding Brook Lopez. And I think it needs to be said that this was a bit of a blunder by the front office. And you know, for those of you who roll your eyes every time I criticize the front office and I hark on how important process is, not just in analysis, but in for practice, right? Like if you luck into LeBron James and you still don't have the right habits in place to really fully take care of business consistently, that's how you get yourself in trouble. And for the Lakers, they sign LeBron James. Move after that is KCP, which is a fine move, and then Lance Stephenson, which is a terrible move, and then Rajon Rondo was at least explicable, right? And JaVale McGee is also explicable. But if you go back even further before those things, they've kind of made it part of their culture as it stands right now, from where I'm watching, is you're either with us or you're a part of our future or our plans, or you're not. And if you're not, it's really hard, if not impossible, to work your way into those plans. And it played out that way for Julius Randle, and they got nothing for him. It played out that way for D'Angelo Russell, and they traded him. Unfortunately, we're able to use that cap space to get LeBron James. But now you're kind of seeing it here with Brook Lopez, where, based on stuff that I'm hearing, he never really, I guess, felt comfortable or a part of those future plans. And I just think that's a mistake, not just from the standpoint of, wow, it would really help the Lakers to not have JaVale McGee as their starting center, but also from the standpoint of that's not a great culture, that's not a great reputation to build. And part of that had, you know, part of this analysis should also address that Aaron Mintz has not acted particularly professionally, based on what I've seen from an outsider's perspective. But I also don't think the Lakers are necessarily doing themselves any favors with how they've kind of treated players who they don't necessarily see or view as important parts of the future moving forward. And it's one thing to have that opinion of a player. That's fine. That happens all the time. But if a player proves himself, I think it's important to be able to be flexible and be able to take new information into account. And so far, the Lakers haven't really done that under Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, albeit in the first couple of years. All right, so that rant aside, I'm going to jump back into these iTunes questions here. I'm going to do that here in a second. But just a quick reminder, for those of you who are new to the show, I try to make everything as it's called the term for it is evergreen, meaning unless it's up, you know, an update or new news that come in, I try to keep the show fresh. So if you want to listen to other aspects of the show, previous guests, me personally, I'm biased, but I think the Roni Torioff conversation that I had with him remains the best show that we've ever done. So if you want to find those shows, you know where to find them. You know where to find that show and all of the other shows across Locked On Network, the Locked On Network. But let's pay some bills, and when we come back, I will answer your questions. All right, so the first question here comes from Mazzy, and this is about a lineup, a potential, you know, small ball lineup with LeBron at the five. The lineup here is Lonzo, Hart, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and LeBron, and they're asking what I think the ceiling of that lineup might be. I mean, frankly, now look, we've only seen Josh Hart recently against guys who aren't going to be in the NBA next year, for the most part, over the course of Summer League, but he's dominating. He was, again, the best player on the court. He was absolutely magnetic in last night's game, and I think that lineup right now should include KCP instead of Hart, but it wouldn't shock me at all if Hart wound up being the better or more valuable player over the course of the season. But back to that lineup, I think here's what I think it's capable of. It's capable of short stretches where they look like world beaters. But the style of play that they have to use in order to be successful is so tough on everybody in that group. The switching, the pressing, for LeBron, the physicality of playing inside. Like, you can only use that for short spurts at a time. And I you know, it's a really fun lineup. I like the amount of creativity on the court. Lonzo needs to show that he's a better shooter. But if Hart is at or above 40% from three-point next year, and Kuzma takes a step forward in that respect, and Brandon Ingram builds off of the strong shooting that he finished the season with, I think that lineup could really work. Because really the only non-shooter out there would be Lonzo, and you can get away with it. You can get away with playing with LeBron with, you know, one non-shooter so long as they're elite at something else. And in Lonzo's case, he's elite as a point guard defender, as a rebounder from that position, as a distributor, as somebody who manages pace. He's really good at all those things. So I think that lineup would really work, and it wouldn't shock me if at the end of the year you look back at all the lineup data and that winds up being the team's, I guess, best lineup. Next question here is from ET Bible Reader, and it's a long one, but it has a lot to do with the process that I was talking about earlier. And again, I know it's a boring word, and the idea of process involves having knowledge of something that I there's no way for me to have unless I'm there every single day. But from what I'm watching, and I pay pretty close attention to these things, I feel like there's something lacking in their process right now. And it didn't matter so far because they were able to get LeBron by way of that process. And hell, if they go through this season and they go into next offseason and they're able to add a superstar free agent despite, you know, shortcomings along the way, then maybe this process is what's actually best for the Lakers. And I get to adapt and evolve in my analysis and think of it that way. But as it stands right now, just me being having an opinion on how I would prefer to run a team if someone was ever dumb enough to give me the opportunity, I just think I wish they were less rigid than it seems they are with guys who they aren't, you know, that aren't deemed their guys. Like for Magic, every young player outside of Zubats and Ingram have moved on in one way or another, right? And Zubats is the exception to the rule here, but Ingram has spent this last month in trade rumors, and that's just, again, it goes back to, is that because he's the top asset? It's altogether likely, and in my opinion, he is the top asset that the Lakers have and that the Spurs might want to ask for. You also kind of wonder, would Lonzo ever be included in this if the Spurs were interested because he was drafted by Magic? If he wasn't included, would it be because he was drafted by Magic? It's a theory, and we'll see how that all plays out over the years. But as it stands right now, it's just something to kind of keep an eye on. I'm going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to answer a couple more questions, one about Julius Randle, one about a potential signing that they might have next season, all of that here in a second. All right, so this gets back to the last segment regarding that small ball lineup, and they're asking, this is from McNugget 2483, and this is they're asking, with Julius Randle leaving in free agency, who plays small ball center? Can LeBron play in that position, say against Draymond Green, as a center in the playoffs? All right, so that would be the most natural fit there. Because of how talented and big and strong and really smart that as LeBron is. And I think that would work. I'm a little iffy. I'm a little dubious. I'm going to use that word, dubious, about whether LeBron actually is okay or open to playing the five. Thus far in his career, he's been reluctant to play the four. And this idea that he might leapfrog playing the four and slide down all the way down to the five and take the abuse that guys take as a five, I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case. Or I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case over the extent of an 82-game season or a 90-whatever-game season, hopefully, right? So maybe he makes sense there, and maybe he accepts that role. But as of right now, I'm a little iffy as to whether he would actually accept it. But other options that they have there, like Mo Wagner, has really shown some stuff. He's a lot more mobile than I thought he was going to be. He thinks the game well. He provides shooting, which will be important. So watch for him to get a few minutes there as the small ball five. Even though you don't think of him as small per se, but. But the things that he brings to the court are those that you would hope for from a small ball five. Now, the one concern there, and this is something that anybody listening or anybody who has watched so far will say, that you don't really feel that comfortable in switching situations with Wagner. But as it stands right now, I think it's worth taking a look there because there are not very many options at that spot across the Lakers roster. Next question here. This is from Thor825. You guys' names are killing me today. This is from the God of Thunder, the God of Lightning. They're asking, I have heard a theory thrown around that Klay Thompson could join the Lakers next offseason. What are your thoughts, and do you think it could happen? Could it happen? Sure, why not? I mean, at some point, the Warriors are going to have some tough questions here about who they're going to pay and the luxury tax bill that comes with it. So long as they're okay with taking pay cuts, I think it's really lame. But so long as they're okay with taking those pay cuts, then I think that's something that's going to continue happening. But if Klay doesn't want to take a pay cut, or if Klay wants a larger share of the praise, I could see him joining the Lakers, the team that his dad played for. His dad has talked a couple times about Klay potentially wanting to be a Laker, and it makes sense. And in terms of roster fit, he would fit perfectly next to Lonzo Ball and alongside LeBron. He does a lot of the things that you need from playing alongside those guys. So it makes a ton of sense. Do I think it could happen? Yeah, I think it could. If I had to put a percentage of likelihood on it, I'll give it about 33% likelihood as it stands right now. I just don't know. I don't know how many players leave champions the way that you would be hoping that Klay Thompson leaves that champion. A couple last questions here. One is about Melo and if he can play the five. No, not really. One here about if we can get rid of Lonzo. No, not really. I don't think it's. People are really sick of the LeVar Ball stuff, and for fair reason to a certain extent. But this idea that they should just get rid of Lonzo, I don't really roll with. And the last question here is about a three-way deal to trade away Deng and a first-round pick to the Hawks, receive Melo from OKC, and OKC would send maybe a first or two to the Hawks in return for the circum. Basically, details aside, does it make sense to send Deng into cap space or use assets to send Deng into cap space? I would have said yes heading into the season or right after the Lakers signed LeBron. I would have said, okay, do what you have to open up a little bit more flexibility there. But given the signings that the Lakers have made and this appearance that it seems like they're okay with, I guess, quote-unquote, punting the season or gambling on the rookies, I think you can hold on to Deng, and then next year, getting rid of his contract, it won't take very much at all. I mean, the Nuggets gave up a conditional second-round pick to get rid of Wilson Chandler, right? So I don't think it would take that much when Luol Deng isn't expiring. And given the way that this offseason has gone since landing LeBron, I think the Lakers can get away with holding on to Deng for now, maybe playing him every so often, though I don't think that's going to happen. But heading into next season or next offseason with Luol as an expiring contract makes a lot more sense in terms of asset management as the team tries to optimize every single one of their assets. Like that's really important given what they're trying to do. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thanks again to those of you who sent in those questions. I greatly, greatly appreciated that. To those of you who have come up and said hi out here in Vegas, that kind of thing really puts a smile on my face. I like meeting you guys whenever possible. So if you think you recognize me, say hi. I have no problem doing that. I'll give you a short version of the podcast when we meet or something like that. But thanks everybody for listening. You guys know where to find the show. You guys know where to find me, and I'll be back at it again tomorrow with hopefully a guest. While everybody is out here from various teams, I'll hopefully bring a couple guests on for some in-person stuff. You guys seem to enjoy that, so look forward to that, and I'll talk to you then. Have a great day, everybody.